Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. It's another blessed day at the cafe. Hey, you know what? It's raining outside. The birds are probably hung up in a tree somewhere or something. They're not chirping. The sun's not shining, but it's still a blessed day. I feel like a lot of times if I'm saying it's a blessed day, it's always got to be sunny out. It doesn't always have to be sunny out. It's kind of cozy in here. I got a roof over my head. Amen. I got a microphone in front of my face. I can't complain. Amen. I'm happy. Happy as a clam to be here. Amen. I'm just so blessed to be here today. Hopefully you're doing great. We covered a lot of ground on the last episode. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, please do. And you know, I usually don't mention that, like saying, hey, you need to go back and listen, but we covered a lot of ground there because a lot of people may read Genesis 9 and just breeze right through this idea of the blood, the life being in the blood, the atonement, the concept of recompense. And by the way, as a reminder, as you hear all of these great principles of God, never forget that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Has nothing to do with our works, has nothing even to do with, you know, where we come from, our education, or did we go to church on Sunday. It has nothing to do with any of those things. It has to do with faith. And by the way, when you have faith in God and you truly believe in Him, you'll have that reverent fear of God, which will compel you to go to church and to be charitable and all of those things. So the fruit of living for God comes out of a life devoted to God, a obedience to God, a faith in God, right? That people get it all mixed up. You know, they go to church, they hear a good sermon or something, they say, okay, I want to do something for God. And that's like a flash in the pan. And you know, say even a little piece of fire comes up from that pan, what happens? It just dissolves and goes away. You really want to do something for God, be obedient in the small things in the day-to-day. You want to do something for God, spend time every day in His Word, spend time praying to Him, spend time seeking Him, and oh, how He can use an obedient, sold-out person. If one person truly got a hold of what God had for them, they could turn the whole world upside down. I know Paul did it, amen. And not to put Billy Graham on that same level, but Billy Graham had a great impact, and so many others. And by the way, there's many that we don't even know the names of, amen. Read the biographies of some of these hymn writers. You may have never heard of the hymn writers, but you say, wow, that's how that hymn came about. Their whole family died and they wrote that. They were sinking on a ship and they wrote that. They were about to be martyred and they wrote that. I mean, it's incredible to read about those that have been devoted to God. People may not know their names, but they were obedient to Him. And through that obedience and faith in Him, just simply believing we're justified by faith, they've been blessed. Now, we're going to move a fair bit here in Genesis 9 because it is kind of uncharacteristic to go this much. But let's just do this because it all deals with this theme of a covenant. Okay, so we're going to try to tackle here Genesis 9, 7 through 17. Okay, and it's dealing with this covenant that God makes with Noah. So verse 7, and you be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. It shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I'll remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Let's take a break, and we'll come right back and dive into this passage of scripture.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Amen. All right. So we have here a covenant being made from God with all humanity, right? And we see here, this is called the Noahic or Noah covenant, and it was between God and humanity in general. When? After the flood. And God promises what? A perpetual agreement. He promises that he's not going to destroy all earth again, and then he's going to give this bow or this rainbow as a sign. Matter of fact, it's raining outside. When it clears up, very well could be a rainbow out here. There's oftentimes, for whatever reason, in this neighborhood, I see a lot of rainbows. And when I see it, I think of God's covenant. And what's very fascinating is we're often taught that when you see the rainbow, think of God's covenant. But look at verse 14 of Genesis 9. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant. So the rainbow isn't just a reminder for humanity that God loves humanity, though they're so sinful, and will not flood the earth and destroy it again. It's also a reminder to him. And think about it. There are days when I see just abject wickedness. I deal with people that are being mean or something, or I see something in the news. I just say, Lord, how much longer, right? You see the sinfulness, and God himself must say, how much longer? And then he'll see that rainbow and say, okay, a little bit longer, a little bit longer, till my purposes are fulfilled. And that be God's purposes, not my purposes, God's purposes. God's purpose, God's desire is for all men to be saved. How? By the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary that's already taken place. Man simply needs to accept Christ as Savior. And once they're saved, they're born again. Amen. And they're saved by faith alone. And that faith justifies them before God. They're no longer at odds with God. They are now reconciled to God. And if you wonder in the Bible where this doctrine is seen the clearest or cleanest, whatever you want to say, would be Paul's teachings, the books that Paul writes. He gives us these teachings. That's why oftentimes, if at least in the Baptist church, someone's going to be saved. Oftentimes you'll walk them down Romans Road. Amen. Romans was written by Paul. And so we're looking at these teachings of Paul, and we're seeing that God is faithful, and he's saying, like, by the way, he prefaces this with what? He's saying, be fruitful, right? So Genesis 9, 7 says, and you be fruitful, multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, multiply therein. By the way, that was mentioned in Genesis 9, 1 as well. God doesn't think man is forgetting. What God is doing through his word is being repetitive. And when I used to, when I went to school for public speaking, and I was teaching public speaking for a season, which is funny because back then I didn't care, but now I don't love speaking in public, but back then I didn't care. So God changed me in a lot of ways. One way I think the Lord changed me is I used to just be like bold, and now I'm not. You get me in front of a crowd, I'm looking for the exit door, amen. I'm very good just being in my little nook here. But you know what? When you use repetition, as I used to share with the students from the textbooks, from the experts, it's a persuasive method. It is a method of emphasis. It is a tactic used by a speaker that will help people understand that they really, really mean something. And Jesus, in the New Testament, the red letter text often will say, verily, verily, amen. And so that's what that is, right? And so what we see here is God is saying, again, be fruitful. Like guys, seriously, be fruitful. You know, if you ever dealt with people and they're really sorry about something and you tell them it's okay, and then maybe you tell them it's okay again. How about Jesus when he sees Peter after his resurrection in his resurrected form, and he has to ask Peter, you know, do you love me? You know, he's reminding Peter, but at the same time, he's forgiving him. Amen. I believe that. Man, there's great verses in scripture when you see Jesus bringing along a select few, you know, to the Mount of Transfiguration or whatever it may be. Peter's always there. So Peter wasn't perfect. He was zealous, but he wasn't perfect. You know, he was rebuked by Jesus himself multiple times. But Jesus loved Peter like he loves you. And Jesus is letting us know through this word here that, hey, be fruitful and multiply, because I'm not going to do what I did before. It's not going to happen again. Amen. And so we see this covenant being brought. What's a covenant? It is an agreement. Okay. And some people, you know, leave it to academics to argue about stuff, right? But some people believe there's maybe five covenants in the Bible. Others believe there's seven. You have the, of course, the one that's probably most famous is the Abrahamic covenant, which happens between God and Abraham. Other covenants mentioned would be the Adamic covenant, which also involves a covenant with Eden, the Edenic covenant, man's responsibility towards creation. So obviously you're not making a covenant with a place, but that time. And then of course, Adam and Eve and provision. This would be the second covenant after the covenant. But I don't know that there was a actual word covenant before, and maybe someone could research this, before Genesis 9. I don't know if that word was, I don't remember reading it. So to me, this is the first time this is brought in, but theologians think, experts think there was one there with Adam. Then there's also after that, of course, the Abrahamic covenant, which certainly the word covenant was mentioned there. You have the Palestinian covenant or the land covenant, to what the Israelites would be restored, what they would receive. You have the Mosaic covenant, which is made with Moses, and the blessings that follow those that follow the commandments. The Davidic covenant, of course, we know about this, where Jesus will rule from David's throne. The future king is Jesus. And then finally, there's the new covenant. So if you're counting, those would be seven. But we're focusing here, for time's sake, just on the one made with Noah. Amen. And that's probably a good thing, because each of these could go very deep. But here's the thing that we should also understand. God is not a liar. God does not change. God's word stands eternally and forever. So when we see that God is saying this to Noah, we could then think, where are we living on the side of the flood? We're living on the post-flood time, okay? And so we could then think and apply this to ourselves. So, for example, it was raining out. I can't tell if it's still raining, maybe drizzling. When I see rain, I don't have to worry that God's going to, in his judgment or wrath, wipe out the earth, right? Because he's made a promise, and my God doesn't lie. And that promise, yes, was applicable to Noah and his children. It's still applicable today. There was no asterisk in there. There was no thing in there that, hey, if man gets really bad, then I might do it. He is not going to do it, okay? There will be no more flood to destroy the earth. He has said it. The word perpetual means ongoing, amen. He puts the bow in the clouds. I see rainbows all the time. Sometimes I see two of them out here at the same time. So this is the sign that I look at and remember, but also, interestingly enough, that God looks at and remembers and probably kind of calms him down as he is ready and eager to judge this wicked, wicked fallen world. And so we see here that it means for us, the principle, the takeaway, the application would be, don't fear. Like, if you have faith in God, then you can understand he's sovereign. The question is, could God make a promise to Noah like that? As in, could God prevent the world from flooding? Certainly he could, because he created it. Amen. And so the same God that created the earth, the same God that destroyed the earth in the times of Noah, the same God that protected Noah and his family. That's why there's so much emphasis on who came off of the ark, so forth, because God wanted us to understand that nobody died, that everyone lived, that they were saved as his word stood true. That same God, he is able and willing to help us here today, that we should not fear, that we should not fear destruction, that we should not fear judgment, that we should not fear anything. Because the Bible says, number one, what adds to your stature? What does it do to you when you fear? Nothing. But then number two, that God is sovereign. The Bible says, don't covet, right? Because Jesus is lit with you and he will never leave you or forsake you. So we shouldn't desire other things because we have Christ, and we shouldn't fear because we have Christ. And so all the promises of Christ are applicable to us. A great preacher once shared that in the time of COVID. He just started sharing the promises of God, and they were great comfort to me. Maybe you've heard them as well. Let's focus on the promises of God today. And next time we'll dive deeper into Genesis 9. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless, and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow. Same time, same place.